actually branding a person is so much easier than branding a new home community, because people are so much more dynamic and much more three-dimensional. Like, you don't have to create a story because they already have a story.
Hey babes, it's Kayla Kraft with the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. I'm a mom of three littles, ER nurse turned self-made millionaire, and lifestyle entrepreneur. I am bringing you inspiring stories, business and mindset tips to help you be shameless in pursuing your ambitions. Hey, Mommy Millionaires. I'm so excited about today's episode. We're bringing on a very, very special guest. But first, I want to remind you that if you have not picked up your ticket to Mommy Millionaire Live, head over to mommymillionaire.co right now, ASAP, and grab it, because the guest that is appearing on the podcast today is actually going to be giving you a copy of her book in the swag bag. You guys will be like some of the first people on the planet to be able to get your hands on this. How cool is that? So those are just like little tiny things that you'll be getting at Mommy Millionaire. There's so much other amazing stuff that comes along with going to an event. And one of the things that I think is the most powerful is the networking that will happen. And you'll meet people like our guests today that are moving and shaking and doing incredible things in this world. And you'll get to become a friends with them. How cool is that? So head over to mommymillionaire.co and grab your ticket. So today is actually, I think this is the first time I'm bringing somebody on that is a part of my mastermind. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. You guys, she is one of those people that when you're in her presence, she makes you feel like you're the only person there. She is all about adding value to you with no agenda. And I love people like that. Like, she is just a giver. And that's why I had to introduce you guys to her today. Rebecca is a TEDx speaker, sales and branding expert, and co-founder of the Brand Camp Retreat, branding workshops and retreats for female business owners. Prior to owning her own business, she served as a vice president of sales and marketing for the top grossing division of a Fortune 1000 company, overseeing more than $1 billion in sales. Yes, that's right, $1 billion. In addition to frequent public speaking events and training entrepreneurs on social media, branding, and business strategy, she is a frequent contributor to publications including Reader's Digest, Women's Health, US Business and News, ABC News, and more. Whoa, she's done a lot, okay? But I'm going to add to that bio because it's not in here. You guys, she's also a six-figure earner in a network marketing company. How freaking cool is that? So it just goes to show you, you can really do whatever the heck you want. So you guys, please help me welcome Rebecca Caffiero to the show.
Hi. Oh my gosh. Hello. Oh, first of all, I am so honored to be here. I am obviously obsessed with everything you do, which is why I'm in your mastermind, which has been such a game changer. And for everyone listening, success leaves clues. You're obviously listening to Kayla's podcast. Basically do what she does, because I've been doing it and it works. So thank you, Kayla. It's my honor.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, you know, you've done a lot of stuff with your life. And you know, you're on video right now, so people are looking. You're majorly beautiful, and they probably look and think that you've had an easy life. I know, because I know you and we're friends, that you haven't had an easy life. You have just chose to become a victor over your life. We talk about this all the time. So can you kind of take everybody back to, you know, where you were in the beginning? You know, like, how was your childhood?
Absolutely. And thank you for saying that about being the victor. I learned at a young age in high school, pre knowing about personal development, that, you know, it's your events plus the way that you think about them is the outcome. And when I realized that even if a crappy event occurred, but I had a positive way I processed it or I thought about it, that the outcome would be positive, like, that was the biggest game changer to me. And it's the way I live. But I grew up in very rural Oregon. My dad is a fisherman. My stepdad is a well driller. So I grew up on a farm out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm very proud of my tomboy roots, because I learned a lot about grit and being tough and, like, bugs and gross things don't don't freak me out, which is good because I have a toddler and they're pretty disgusting, a toddler boy. But I grew up seeing my mom struggle. You know, I had a single mom and we qualified for welfare. We lived below poverty level. I watched my mom go back to school to get a degree and do that with a 5 and a 3-year-old. And it was not easy. And so I definitely grew up learning the value of hard work. But I also grew up around this mindset that if you're making money, you're probably doing something wrong. You're probably hurting people. There was a pride and a bit of martyrdom about struggling. And I didn't know that people could like earn a lot of money and also create a lot of impact. So that was something I learned later on. And I'm so
glad. What did your mom do for work?
So my mom, well, she was a stay-at-home mom. My parents got married at 18 and had me at 24, my brother at 26. So when they got divorced at 30, my mom went back to, you know, community college, then university, and she became a CPA. And she was one of the first kids in her family of 9 children. She was one of the first people to get a degree. Like my grandmother that raised my mom had a 7th grade education. You know, they were like immigrant workers.
Wow.
Literally in the fields. Like that, my grandmother was a row boss in strawberry fields in Oregon.
Wow.
I mean, that's incredible. You know, very fighters. I mean, they raised 8 kids in a 3-bedroom house, a little 3-bedroom house. So you know, I grew up definitely being very appreciative of what we had and not having a lot. And
did you know then that you wanted more?
Absolutely. I was always like the odd duck. I loved to read. I was always into reading. I read a lot of fiction growing up, but I always wanted to escape. And I knew that, you know, for a long time I did that through books. But then I also, I think for my dad leaving and then, you know, looking for that validation, I was a pleaser. I was a big time pleaser and looked for that academically, which was good because that was, I mean, that's a better outlet to look for validation is looking, you know, academically and kind of extracurricularly. So I did all of the things, you know, cheerleading, yearbook, debate, softball, student council.
Yeah, you were just a major achiever.
Like I was a major achiever. And because I also knew I wanted out. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with growing up in a small town, but people just didn't dream very big. And my parents were already 3rd generation there. So I wanted out.
How small was small?
Well, 10,000 lived in the town. So we had 1,400 people that went to our high school, but we had a 40% dropout rate.
Wow.
And a 20% teenage pregnancy rate by graduation of the people that graduated. So it was a different place to grow up.
The odds. Yeah.
Did. I mean, I think of the students that graduated of my class, 17% went on to any form of higher education. Like we were the 2nd highest grossing Walmart in the United States was in my hometown.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I like to ask questions like this because it gives people a sense of how far you've come, right? And I think it gives people like that open mind to now hear what you have to say and the training that you're going to be bringing everybody is like, listen, like she's overcome the odds. Like clearly she has. And I mean, you've even in your bio, there was a lot of things that were missing that I know that you've accomplished. And how old are you, Rebecca?
39.
39. And you have 2 kids.
I have a 3.5-year-old and a 4-month-old.
And how long have you guys been married?
We've been married for 5 years and together for 8.5.
Okay. And he's like a superstar in his own right.
My husband is incredible and he's very humble. We're very different. I'm not so humble, but it was also because I had to like advocate for myself to get the things that I have. And my husband grew up in a, you know, a family that was very successful and around a lot of very successful people. But yeah, he's being interviewed by the New York Times tomorrow for an article in his company.
That gives me chills. It's so crazy. Cool. I was listening to a podcast earlier and they said, you know, poor people make more poor people and rich people make rich people, right? Their kids grow up to be rich because they don't know anything different.
Right.
Most poor people, they raise poor children because they don't know anything different. And so it's crazy. Like to them, like he probably just has always known how to have.
He has. But one thing I will say is growing up, you know, with a highly successful father, his dad has hundreds of patents out there, but my husband was an engineer and he was doing very well. But the risk of, and his father was also an immigrant, the risk of putting himself out there where he could lose it, like lose esteem, you know, security, et cetera, was very scary to him. And actually my journey of becoming an entrepreneur from coming from corporate America is a big part of what motivated him to go back. He got his MBA, not that he needed that, but it was important to him. He went back and got an MBA and then started his own company because the job that he wanted didn't exist. So I said, we'll create it then, because that's what we do. You know, that's what you and I are all about, is create the life you want to live. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you don't, no one else is going to do it for you.
That's right. That's on a quote card, Rebecca. I love it. Okay. So you beat the odds. You graduate high school. You're doing all this stuff. I know you got into real estate. And how did you become a branding expert?
Well, I first studied journalism, and I actually was a writer at a daily paper for several years, and realized I didn't want to live below poverty level, and I didn't want to always have to have a bartending job to like pay the rent that my 50-hour a week newspaper job was not doing. So when I got into real estate, I never wanted to be in sales because I thought sales was a four-letter word. I didn't understand that it's about bringing people value and helping them make the best decision for them that's going to catapult their life forward.
Whoa, okay, wait. That was a mouthful, and I feel like that's really good. So slow it down now.
Sure. So
say that again.
Yes.
Everybody write that down.
Well, as a journalist, I was always about taking information, condensing it, and delivering it to people in a consumable way.
Right.
And then when I got into sales, I always said, I don't want to be in sales. Sales is, you know, it's a four-letter word. It's got a negative connotation. It's, people think it's about manipulation. But what I learned in real estate sales, which most people, that's the largest purchase of their life, is that sales is really about helping someone to make a decision about what is right for them to help them change their life. Mm. You know?
I love that. I always say sales is giving that person the opportunity to commit to their vision.
Absolutely. And we were called sales consultants because that's what we were. They were consulting with us. And there were people I said, this is not the right purchase for you, you know, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So I got into sales and realized that when it was about bringing value and really helping someone understand if this was the right thing for them, I was very good at it because I naturally like to give people value. That's just who I am. It's my love language, you know, and I was good at it, but I also have always been someone that like, one that wants to optimize constantly. So I'm like, oh, that's working. How can we combine them? How can we tweak it? So I, as a salesperson, was always very much about sharing what was working for me, and I crushed it. I mean, when I was working for the builder I worked for 5 years, you know, I was number one salesperson in the nation my second year. And it wasn't because I was necessarily doing anything very differently, but I was looking at everyone that was excelling and looking at the different things they did and combining them. And then I'd share, and I often had these crusty old salespeople that saw me as a threat. I'm like, there's so much out there. There's enough for all of us. There's enough clients. There's enough homes. There's enough money. But they were dealing with a lack mindset. And I'd say like, hey, this is working for me. Do you want to do it? And they thought there was like a string attached. I remember somebody asking me like, how are you getting so many people into your car to show them homes? Because I worked in a new home development. And I said, well, it's just part of the process. It's just, I set up the expectation that I'm going to show them the model home. I'm going to take them out to a lot. They're going to experience the community. Like, it's not an option. I'm just taking them through assumptively.
Well, I think that's important. It's a part of a process. Sales is a process. It's not a one-time conversation thing. No. I think that's why a lot of people, when they think about sales, they feel pressure and they don't like it. People don't like to feel pressure. But talk about that. I love that.
Well, typically, and this is back in real estate, but it all applies into what I'm doing now. And I will answer that question about how did I get into this. But if somebody is feeling a pressure, it's because the person...
What she's doing is a typical press response where they answer with the response they want to answer with. That is, she wants to get her point across. I love it.
I couldn't stand people that interviewed like this when I was interviewing as a journalist. No, but I would, I do feel, and I would explain this to my salespeople. I'm like, don't be, you know, like a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am salesperson. You know, it's about this whole relationship. You're creating a relationship with someone that's trusting you. And, you know, we talked about this morning on our strategy call that you can sell to someone like through an ad and you're going to have, you know, X amount of people that convert. You can sell to someone through a referral and it's going to be much higher. And if you create a customer for life, if you delight your customer, and you create a customer for life, they're going to buy everything that you have, but they have to be obsessed with who you are. They have to be obsessed with the brand, not just the product, but the experience. So, you know, explaining this to salespeople about how important this was and training them and things like follow-up and prospecting, it's not just because you know how to close someone or manipulate someone or do, you know, NLP. It's about this whole process. And I was good at it. And then I was also kind of this rare breed in sales that I also was very organized. And there's a lot of people that can sell but can't manage. There's a lot of people that can manage but can't sell, and I was able to do both. So as far as branding, what I learned to do in real estate was look at a raw piece of land. So if you compare this to a human, it's all transferable. Look at a raw piece of land and say, based on this location, based on kind of the natural resources, what is the best use of this? Okay, so it's like a person and their raw talents. What is the best product fit for this land? What is the best consumer group? And then develop, you know, that land all the way to a community with its own story and its own, you know, its own marketing trail. And from start to finish, that was usually a 3 to 4 year process when you're developing a 500 lot or 2000 lot community. And I became an expert on this and I knew I wanted to get out of real estate, but I was like, at the end of the day, what am I going to do? And then I realized that those skills were transferable to everything else. Like branding a person is so much easier than branding a new home community because people are so much more dynamic and much more three-dimensional. Like you don't have to create a story because they already have a story.
I love that. So, okay, let's talk about the branding process. I feel like a lot of people overcomplicate it. People get stuck on a logo. That's what they think. When they think brand, she's shaking her head. Cause it's like, I hear that all the time. I'm like, the logo does not matter. Like the actual name usually doesn't matter either. It's the whole experience around your brand. So tell me about what is the first step? If I'm like listening into the podcast right now, and maybe I have a network marketing business because probably about 75% of the people that listen in are network marketers. Absolutely. Is it important for them to have a personal brand?
100%. And I think that there is a transition right now going on where even a few years ago, people were like, don't build a brand until you have, you know, in network marketing, you have a huge income or you have, you know, your business is really viable. Mm-hmm. And, but the thing to understand in this age, especially with social media, what, you know, online or offline, is that a personal brand doesn't mean you have a logo. It doesn't mean you have a website. The business is what you do, but your brand is who you are.
Yes.
And there's so many people, like, let's look at it, like in network marketing or anything else. There's so many people out there doing your same business. Let's say somebody is a coach, right? There's so many people out there that are coaches. So why would someone work with one coach versus the other? Is ultimately they feel an attraction and alignment. They know, like, and trust the person. Mm-hmm. So your brand is what someone is know, liking, and trusting. It's not what you actually do. And that's where I tell people, you know, you may not be the most talented coach out there, but if you have a phenomenal personality and you're crystal clear on your messaging to attract the person you want to work with. Now, when I say want to work with, not you think you should work with, because I see this often, this disconnect of, well, I really want to work with moms, but I don't feel like they're going to pay. So I'm going to like find this other corporate client instead because they've got money, which is great. You want clients that pay. You don't want to give it away because it's all, you know, it's all an energetic exchange. But at the same time, like if you're not called to work with that person and you're not going to deliver your best work because you're not lit up when you're collaborating with them, then you shouldn't be working with them. And I've learned this the hard way. Like I used to do
that all the time.
Yeah. You take on people that you're like, oh, it feels like an obligation. And not that, let's be real, business does not mean that 100% of the time we're in this like magical fairy flow state, right? There are things that we have to do that aren't always fun. Ideally, we can delegate them. But if you are working with people that you feel aligned with, you're going to show up in a way that your brand is going to shine because it's the service you're delivering, it's the experience you're delivering. They're going to refer you to all of their friends. I mean, my coach I'm coaching with right now, I have referred her, I think, 17 clients.
Wow.
Because when I find someone that I love what they're about and they're a professional and they do what they say they're going to do, and it's not just about having like all of these certifications or, you know, a phenomenal resume, but it's like, I have a great experience. I will refer the crap out of them. Because I know what they stand for and I know how they show up, but I'm only going to refer them clients that are a good fit.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Okay. So when it comes to these people that are focused on, because this is who's listening in right now, they hear all of what you're saying, right? But they probably are only digesting probably 5% of it because they want to think what they think about branding. Right. And they're like, but still, like you could say that now, Rebecca, because you're successful. So you could say only work with the people that you want to work with. How do they position themselves online with their brand to be the person that somebody knows, likes, and trusts?
I love that you asked that. So the first thing is we have to get through or get over imposter syndrome. And this is where someone looks in there like you. It's very easy to look at Kayla and say, well, I mean, Kayla's doing all of these things and I want to do these too. And so they try to emulate you, but with their own twist, and they'll always fall flat because they're always going to be copying you and they're never really stepping in. They're never stepping into their power and their passion. So you said about know, like, and trust. So the first step is know. And I have this phrase I like to teach on called knowables. It's instead of trying to act like someone else that's farther ahead of you in business or where you want to go, you've really got to embrace the unique things about yourself that make you unique. Because those are the things that are going to show up if you're on a coaching call or if you're training a team. And so when you can really embrace your knowables, so knowables can be things like what do you love to eat? What are your favorite products? What are your favorite colors? You know, like Kayla has a specific palette, and you know, if you're watching this video, you can see it behind her. You can see in my clothes, like there's certain colors that I love, and that's going to show up again and again. But what you're doing is you're one, teaching your audience what to expect, but you're also doing it by showing up as your best self and not a fake self, but showing up doing the things that light you up. So if that's SoulCycle or Peloton or Bar or whatever that is, like do it and talk about it. It may have nothing to do with your business, but it is going to be a connection piece. It's like dog people, right?
Yep.
Like you and I have connected over talking about kids and like raising kids and breast pumping and, you know, all pumping milk, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, and you know, if you're at the, you're walking your dog and someone else is walking your dog, you're going to connect about dogs. So the point is to have these things that actually show up in your life that you're passionate about, have them out there for your audience to see, because they are going to feel connected to you for those reasons. And guess what? When you're showing up uniquely as you and you're celebrating the things that you love, like when you're going to the bar class because you love it and not just sitting behind your computer trying to build your business, actually meeting people in your best energy where you're most likely to attract that client.
Okay. I am so glad that you brought up the bar class, because I still, like when I moved to Newport Beach, the first thing I did was go to fitness classes because those are where my people are at. So like I was, you know, I wasn't necessarily for my business, but it was just to make friends in a new city. But I knew like, you know, that's where I'm going. And all I did to build my network marketing business was go to fitness classes too, because all those people are energetic, just like me. They care about what they look like, just like me. You know, like, so those are, I love that you're saying the knowables. It just makes total sense to, you know, follow along with that.
Well, and it gives you permission to actually do the things that you love. Like today, before this call, I was at a female co-working space for a leadership luncheon. And it would have been very easy to say, well, that's, you know, 8 hours out of my day that I could be on Instagram or on whatever else. And not that that's not important, but instead I can show up and in person, be my energetic self around these 20 other women who are all doing incredible things that are all about female collaboration. We did a walk through the redwoods and a meditation. Like it was fantastic. Okay. And I met all these women that I'm like, oh, I want to interview you for my podcast. I want to collaborate with you. I ended up speaking to the marketing director. She's like, I want to bring you back to do a curated content series for us.
Dude, things are just falling in your lap right now.
Because I'm
amazing.
Well, because one, I'm in your mastermind. So I am being pushed and pulled and getting supported to do things, and also making sure I'm staying on the right track, because it's very easy as an entrepreneur to get like squirrel distracted. But knowables is about just showing up as you and giving yourself permission to be who you are meant to be, so that you then attract those clients that connect with the real you. Because you can be perfect online and be perfectly someone else. And the moment they jump on a consultation or a call, or they like see a training and there's a misalignment of who you are online versus in the real world or on Zoom, they're going to feel that. And you're going to wonder why you're not converting sales.
Mm. My gosh. So good. Because that people think that all the time. Like, what is wrong with me? I just can't get anybody to say yes. And it's because there is a disalignment. Like if you're trying to act like Rebecca online and then they get on a phone call with you and you're actually Kayla, then they're not going to say yes.
Because it's not just about the doing. Yes, you have to do. Like action is absolutely important and action creates clarity. But it's really important that you focus on the being first. So be in action, but in that state of being where you're showing up as you.
I love that. My mentor, James Wedmore, says, be, do, have.
Well, you basically just, that's kind of the entire synopsis of my book. So yes.
Well, okay. So are you familiar with Jim Fortin?
No.
Okay. So he's actually there's probably somebody even before him that originated that thought, but he's a master NLP practitioner. I'm going to have him on the podcast. So you guys stay tuned for that. But he's all about rewiring the subconscious mind. And he says, you know, and I know you're a part of this camp too, but you have to be the person, you know, whether it's you want to become a millionaire, you have to be that person and embody everything about that person, which will take you into the action, the do part, and then you can actually have it.
Absolutely.
It's about, like he always says, like, you know, people want to be happy. People want to be happy. And the best way to be happy is to be happy. But it's like, we go to, like, I feel like so many of us and people listening in right now, especially when it comes to branding, we want to complicate everything. So how do you coach somebody through that that's like really struggling? Because I've talked to people before, and some of my dearest friends, they struggle with this whole, I got to pick and choose who I'm talking to. Like,
I think part of it is understanding that brands are bio-individual, right? People are bio-individual. People are unique. So what is going to work for you is not necessarily going to work for someone else. Now, I said earlier, success leaves clues, and it does. So if you're, you know, tackling email marketing or like Instagram, it doesn't mean you need to go out and like create a new path. Mm-hmm. But depending on what someone's goals are, like I have, you know, I take on a very small amount of clients that I actually work with directly. Most people are come on and they purchase, you know, our retreat or our workshop or our course. But when I'm working with someone that is really ready and willing to invest and wants that high level one-on-one interaction and like where I'm in my zone of genius, I help them get clarity on what is the most important thing that they need to focus on. Mm-hmm. So if it's, hey, they're not going to even get clients online, they need to be doing like high-end collaborations with the local country club where people are going to pay them $500 an hour for their personal training service or their physical therapy service. And they're only going to work with, you know, tennis players who have disposable income. And, or if it's, hey, you're doing phenomenally belly to belly, but you need to change up your course offerings. Like you have no residual, you're getting paid hourly, which is great, but you can only work so many hours. So if you want to up level your business and work less hours, but make more money, then you're going to have to change your model. So we figure out what is the area that they need to work in. And then I basically handhold them, but handhold with empowerment, mm-hmm. because I don't want to, I'm not here to do someone's work for them. I'm here to show them the way so they can do the work to get the result.
Do you help them pick out like, look, like, yeah, this, I have my colors. Like, do you help them pick out your color scheme and all that kind of stuff?
We can. My business partner, Molly, who is one of the best photographers, she was just named one of the best photographers of the Knot, but she is the visual branding expert. So she brings that to the relationship. And
so is that happening at the retreat?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. The retreat is, it's like slumber party, mastermind. I mean, people do more on their brand. They get more brand clarity in that 3-day retreat than a lot of them have hired experts and consultants, and they've spent tons of money and a lot of wasted time. And we see their businesses move forward more in like the 90 days after that. They get an action plan out of it. And I can't give away too much, but I'll say one of the women that we had that came to our retreat last August, who got tremendous clarity on what was the one thing she needed to work on. She had a really unique service. And I said, it's PR. And I'm like, I can give you a little bit, but ultimately she really needed to delve into PR. So she did that. She got some incredible write-ups in New York Times. She got in, I think, Marie Claire magazine and a few other things, and is now doing let's just say that she's going to be on TV.
Oh, so. I love that. So what's so cool about that is you bring up PR. And I think a lot of people think that they're not big enough for PR. So what would you say to somebody that's thinking that right now?
Well, everyone, almost everyone needs to be doing PR. And there's a few different reasons. And when I say PR, I mean like, why do you need to be published? Like, why do you need to be seen if someone Google searches you? Because they're going to, right? Everyone's going to be Google searched. They're not just going to look at your pretty Instagram. So one is that publicity keeps you relevant with your followers and your clients. Yep. So if you are getting published, you have a, you know, whatever that source is, whether it's a newspaper, a magazine, an online site that is saying you are an expert.
Yep.
And so you can then repurpose that and say, thank you so much for, you know, I was just featured in Reader's Digest or Women's Health. Credibility, again, establishes you as an expert. You may have someone else out there that you're competing with, which again, there's plenty of people out there, but you may have someone that from a bio standpoint looks the exact same as you. But if you have been published in a publication or you've been quoted or you've been an expert, that is going to establish you as the expert. And then the last is money, right? And at the end of the day, we're not here. We're not a for-profit. We are a for-purpose for-profit. So we want to make sure that we are getting what we're worth. And it can give you the ability to raise your rates. Again, taking on less clients, earning more money, having more abundance with the life that you're creating. So that money also is going to come from that publicity or that credibility. So we show women, that's one of the things that I love to do is just showing women it's not actually very hard.
Yeah.
You just have to do a little bit of work, and yes, if you want to hire a PR firm and get into a magazine, you can absolutely do that. But the average entrepreneur out there does not have an extra $5,000 a month yet to spend.
Right.
So how can you do it in 1 hour or less a week? How can you get published? And all the publications you rattled through, which was like, I think 20 last year, I always use myself as a test pilot, you know, for anything I'm about to train on or create coursework on. And I spent less than 30 hours in the year and I had got over 20 publications. So if you Google me, there's just massive amounts of information. So I mean, I would say I am legitimate, but I also look legitimate.
Yeah, I think it's very important because the human nature, me and you both study humans all the time, but humans, we like to see the credibility. And I was doing a coaching call after you today, Rebecca, and we were talking. She goes, well, I see this other girl and she's selling a course online, but she never talks about like, why should I even be buying it from her? And I want to message her and talk to her. I'm like, whoa, wait. But it was true. And I went and I looked at her website and I looked at everything and she never talks about why is she the one to be listening to when it comes to real estate, actually. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's a really great insight. Like I need to message her right now because she's also, you know, in my life. And I was like, I got to tell her, like, you got to start bragging on yourself a little bit. And I think people have so much shame around that. Like, oh, I'm not good enough to be in Forbes. I'm not good enough to be on ABC News. Like, I'm just not good enough. So do you do some mindset work? Like, you know, what did you do? Because look, you were raised on welfare and that mindset, like, did you ever struggle with thinking you weren't good enough to do all this?
There have been times that I have felt like, oh, this person, because they have X, Y, and Z resume or this pedigree, that they just naturally have more. They're like a more accomplished human being. And what I found, the more that I elevated like the circles that I was in, is not necessarily, maybe they did, like my husband, maybe they grew up in a family where it was just assumed that you were going to be successful. So you grew up with that mindset. I've always believed in myself and I've always had grit. And, you know, I mean, outside of just even the professional world, you know, I went through the Vegas real estate depression and a recession and, you know, lost everything. I went from making $400,000 a year to 60, and, you know, lost my boyfriend to cancer 10 years ago. And so I've gone through those things, but like, I always know, like, the hard stuff just makes you better. You know, if you allow it, if you don't become bitter about it. And it's the same thing in business. Like it's everything is not failure. It's just feedback that maybe you need to transition what you're doing. If something's not working, it doesn't mean stop doing it. It means maybe do it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. How have you always known that? Because, okay, so people listening in, it's so interesting because you answer the questions a lot like me too, where I'm like, well, I don't know, I just did it, right? But it's interesting because was your mom doing that?
No, my mom is very intelligent. She got a, you know, straight A's, again, going back to school with two kids. So I've seen my mom do some incredible things, but I don't think that my mom definitely doesn't have the level of belief I do. And I think part of it was,
but maybe
I said,
you just saw her do it.
I saw her do it.
No excuses.
I saw her do it. And yeah, I saw her when there was no other option but to survive and then ideally thrive. I saw her do it without help, without resources. And so I always have said, it's not about your resources, it's about your resourcefulness. But when you combine resourcefulness and resources, like, the sky is the limit. So I saw these things, and even putting myself through college, and I was working, I mean, I worked full-time through college. I worked two jobs in the summer, and I didn't have another option. Like, what was my other option but to do it? I had to create it. No one was going to hand it to me. And so that definitely, I'm glad that I struggled young to develop that resilience and that mindset and that muscle to know that I am always able to get myself out of the situation. Cause ideally we don't, like, I used to attract conflict and then overcome it. That was part of my story. And now I'm like, no, I don't require conflict. I don't require adversity in order to succeed. Now I'm just going to take bigger challenges and crush them.
Yes.
So in a flow state.
Yeah. It's all about just seeing yourself doing it and having it and then being that person.
Right? Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So people want to get branded. They have agencies reach out to them. I think this happened to you. I think that somebody reached out to you actually using my name, saying that they would help you grow. And I said, don't freaking do it, because anytime I've ever hired an agency, I end up getting screwed. And so what I love about what you're doing is things that are boutique, really, like, you're not just another number. You're like super important to them as a client. And I've seen branding agencies out there just, I mean, $30,000, $50,000, just like you name it. And then people still aren't happy and they didn't get the same results that they would get with you just going to a 3-day event. Where's your event at? I know I...
So our next one, so we've got October 10th through the 13th in Malibu. And then we just set our dates. It's not even on our website yet, but we're doing one in January in Scottsdale.
Ooh, okay. Okay. So they can find all that information.
Yes.
We're going to link up the show notes to this, you guys. But I want to ask you a couple questions about, you've done so much this year, right? You started a podcast, you hit new and noteworthy. You
hit 50,000 downloads yesterday.
Woohoo! And what's the name of your podcast so people can follow along?
Becoming You.
Becoming You. And you are writing a book. It's going to become a bestseller. We already know that. Coming out next month. So excited. And what else have you done? I mean,
well, we completed all of our coursework. We're relaunching our Brand Camp course. So we wrote new content and completed all of our filming. And that will be out in October, November-ish.
Oh, and you've had a baby.
Oh yeah, I had a baby 4 months ago. Home birth, amazing. On purpose. And we're building a house. I don't talk about that much, but we're also building a house. And my husband, as a startup owner, he's basically gone 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. So I don't want to say I'm doing it on my own because it does take a village, but I've created a life where I, you know, have help and I'm able to have help very much like you, but still be an incredibly present mom.
Well, let's talk about that first and then we'll move on to all your amazing accomplishments. But there's somebody listening in right now too that goes, oh, well, yeah, you can afford it. You know, must be nice. Must be nice. And you use the wording, which I love because you're very careful with your words. So you guys take notes on that. You said out loud that you created it this way, right? So you decided you wanted help. And so you designed a life where you could have help, right? And most moms either struggle with the guilt, they won't hire for help, or they would say, I just don't have the resources. So I just can't do this. They find all the excuses. So
they get stuck in being a martyr.
Yes.
Because ultimately they're more afraid of the success than they are failure. And it's easier to complain about it and then do it.
Why are people afraid of success?
Because it would contradict the story that they have told themselves. It would contradict the story that maybe they've grown up in.
And they just want to be right.
They want to be right. And not that I haven't gone through points of this in my life, and I've had to really sit down and say, and one thing that I've always been able to do is like look at myself and not saying that it's
easy. Tell me about a story where you've actually gone through it.
I think being an expert is one, especially as a journalist. When I came out of real estate, well, one is being duplicatable. Here we go. This is it. The story that you must be duplicatable.
Ooh, right?
Dumb it down. I hate it. So it's be duplicatable because, you know, and in network marketing, and I want to say I love network marketing. I'm so grateful for the income. I'm so grateful for the impact. But there is this idea that you need to be duplicatable. And that's very different than the normal world, you know. And I said, well, I have all this pride from the fact I was a top salesperson. I have pride from the fact I was, you know, the youngest female VP in my company. And those are things I work my butt off for. And no, they don't define me, but because the skills and the work ethic that got me there is something I can transfer to anything. Like I don't have my old real estate trophies up anymore or my, you know, plaques, but I wasn't duplicatable. So when I tried to, I don't say dumb myself down, but like kind of filter myself, soften myself so that I wasn't showing up as my best self, I felt so stuck. Mm. And it really affected my business. It affected my like energetic state. It affected my relationship because I was frustrated and my husband could see it. And he's like, well, you know, what's wrong? Like, because the story I had when I was building my network marketing business while I was still at my full-time job and like had another side business, it was, I have to do this to get out. Like I have to do this to get out of corporate America. But then once I was able to go full-time with this income, then it was, well, keep the main thing. And you know, and this is something you and I have talked about.
For those of you guys that are not in network marketing, I think it would be hard to understand it.
Okay, in a family dynamic. Yes. Let's say you've got a sister you're super close to and your parents are like, okay, your job is to always make sure that your younger sister feels loved and supported, but you got more attention because you were the first. So yes, we want you to be successful, but don't like outshine your sister.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is the perfect, like that just gave me chills. You just explained it perfectly. Yes. Right. That's exactly what it is.
So it puts you in the situation where you feel like you can't be in competition, which you shouldn't, right? Because you should only be in competition with yourself.
Right.
At the end of the day, like I don't look at other women like you. I'm like, well, Kayla's 8 years younger than me and she's crushing it. And she's showing me the way. I'm never looking at you like I'm jealous. I'm like, okay, what is Kayla doing? What of that do I want to adopt? What can I learn from her? What do I want to do differently? You know, all of these things. Like you're a resource for me. You're an inspiration for me as I design my life.
Right.
And because life is something you're constantly redesigning. It's like, you know, when you're constantly changing the pillows at your house. But in that sister situation, if you're not showing up in your genius, because you're trying to not outshine her, you're doing both of you a disservice. Mm. You're doing yourself a disservice, you're doing the people that you had impacted a disservice, and you are doing her a disservice because who knows what she's thinking at the same time. Like you want to inspire the people around you.
Yep.
by bringing your unique talents. And so, and I do feel that there is a shift away from that. But so I got very frustrated with a story of you need to be duplicatable, you need to be duplicatable. And what I ultimately realized is where I was screwing things up is I was trying to create all my own tools and systems, and I just needed to be using the current tools and systems. Yes. But where I absolutely needed to show up as me, my unique person that I am, is on social media and who I show up in trainings and on Zooms or wherever I'm showing up. That does not need to be duplicatable because I am me. And while there may be other 5'4", you know, blonde hair, brown eyed girls out there that also love to talk and whatever, avocado toast and, you know, have two kids, I'm still unique. So you be duplicatable in the way of the resources you use, but you do not need to be duplicatable as a person.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So good. So good. So you just, but how, what was the mindset? I think that's what I'm trying to dig in at, because you're like, okay, you always just figure it out.
It's okay to shine.
It's okay.
It doesn't take away from anyone else if you are shining.
What was the mindset work for you to get there though? That it's okay to shine. How did you know that? Were you reading a book? Were you listening to a podcast? You know what I'm saying? So it's, like,
well, it's all of it. I mean, I can't identify like one specific thing, but what I will say is that self-work is so important. And when I say self-work, I mean, it's all of the things. And it's the same things that you do. It's like, yes, I'm filling my mind up with inspiration with podcasts, or, you know, even before podcasts were cool, it was like the TED Talks and NPR, like little segments or whatever I could to optimize myself. I hired my first life coach at 26 when I was, and that was 13 years ago. That was like when life coaching wasn't a thing. And, you know, going to a therapist, and as much as I'm like, even holistically, like I'm a holistic person, I'm like, oh, let's go to the naturopath, not the doctor. But even the therapist, there are some things like you don't want your naturopath maybe carving something out of you if you need a surgeon, right? Mm-hmm. There's some things that like, hey, my life coach or my whatever, my Reiki person can only do so much. Like now it's time I see a therapist. So whatever you need to do to remove the blocks that are keeping you from showing up as your best self, like you get to work on that. And you'd asked a question earlier. Yeah, I was like, I never answered the question about moms. But I get that, like right now, I was telling someone, I was like, yeah, I have a nanny, I have a, you know, a housekeeper that comes twice a week, and these things look very from the outside. Like even me growing up, I would have judged myself and be like, wow, that's superficial, or that's that, or she thinks she's fancy, you know, all of these judgments. But what I have realized is what is important to me. What are those non-negotiables? You know, in the balance is BS, like you say. Like what are those non-negotiables? And if it's I want time to create, I want time to collaborate, I want time with my family, then those things that don't fit that, like those things are things that I can delegate or I can release or I can whatever. But yeah, I get that you may not be in a position where you're making multiple six figures and can afford those things yet, but you can start out with who is the mom around you. If you're a mom listening, you know, maybe you've got a family member, or you've got like the mom down the street that's like, hey, I'd love to take your kids a couple hours a week to give you time to work. And you're saying, no, it's okay, because you don't want to ask for help because you don't want to feel like you owe someone. So instead, you're doing a disservice to yourself, and then you're frustrated and you're a martyr, and then you're not happy with your spouse because you don't feel like they're helping. Instead of
constantly finding the proof that you're a martyr.
You're constantly finding the proof of why you can't be helped or why no one's helping you. But if you just said, you know what, I received that gift, thank you, because they want to give you a gift. And if you can, you know, have someone go to your kids for 3 hours where, guess what? They're going to be played with instead of you trying to like do something else while being with them, where you both end up frustrated and you're succeeding at neither thing you're doing. Then what can you do in those 3 hours? What can you create from an income standpoint that now maybe you can go hire the housekeeper?
Right.
And then during that 5 hours that you're not cleaning, you can do something else. So it's constantly about, you know, asking yourself, what are the things that I'm doing and what is the value on them? And if I can pay someone $20 or $25, unless you find in crazy joy. Like if you find crazy joy in it and you just want to do it because you want to make hummus yourself, like good for you. That's right. Not who I am. I want to travel or I want to do other things. So, you know, I do the things that light me up, and that's being around my children. So normally, you know, and we're both working at our normal off hours, but normally like I don't take calls after 3 o'clock, you know, but this has afforded me the life to go to school with my child 2 days a week and be like the mom in the room and work from 8 to 10 at night instead.
And then you get to be the mom in the room and not be thinking about, oh my gosh, I have a million other things I have to do when I get home. You're there. You're present.
Absolutely. I mean, join a YMCA. Like they offer 2 hours a day of free childcare. You can bring your kid in where they're going to have more toys than they would ever imagine and play with other kids and get the social interaction while you can work in the lobby for 2 hours or do a workout and connect with other women.
I mean, I used to have a bunch of different gym memberships when I lived in Bakersfield. And what I would do is I would go to one gym in the morning and put the kids in kids care for 2 hours. And then at night I'd go to the second gym and put the kids in kids care for 2 hours. And most of the time I was in the ab room, like literally just laying there, like doing phone call after phone call because it was kid care and I didn't have the extra money yet.
Right? Exactly. But you figured out a way that you didn't use it as an excuse. Instead of saying, I can't, you said, how can I?
Oh, and on top of that, I was a fitness instructor too. So I got the gym memberships for free. Right. So I think that's something that everybody listening in right now, all of you mommy millionaires to be out there, if you could take anything away from both of us just chatting right now, it's just like, you know, you can choose to stare at the problem and make your imagination go wild with all the reasons why this problem is going to destroy you and blah, 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 blah. Or you could say, I'm going to let my imagination run wild and see how the problem in front of me can be fixed and how this is actually going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. So entertain the thoughts that are going to serve you. You know, I think so many people get stuck in that stinking thinking. And what it sounds like from you, Rebecca, is just like, listen, like those thoughts are not going to serve me. And I know you've done so much work. That's what I wanted to dig into. Cause I'm like, I know you've done like a lot of work and people listening in right now, it sounds easy from you, but it's like, look, she's been life coaching for 13 years. You know, she's been investing in herself for so many years. And that's what gives her the right to be on this podcast today and share her story, right? So I wanna take it to the brand camp retreat really quick. We've talked a little bit about it. Are there spots left?
There are a couple of spots left. We have entirely sold out of our VIP, but we do have some general admission spots left that are probably going to be going in the next couple of weeks. It's October 10th through the 13th. So just
tell me the exact avatar for this. For this retreat.
Absolutely. So any female that is the face of their business or the face of their brand. So typically like some of the women that have came in the past, I mean, definitely anyone that's a coach at all. So whether that's a life coach, a health coach, a fitness coach, we've had, you know, interior designers. So a woman that might have a small business, just anyone that needs to show up as themselves, that needs to be differentiated, that needs clarity, photographers, event planners. We've had lots of kind of creatives of those types. And often they're working by themselves, right? They're working by themselves for themselves. And we really also want to give them a community because community is so important, not just for seeing what other people are doing, but also giving each other opportunities to still work for themselves, but not by themselves.
Ooh, I love that. Okay. So you guys, we will link that up in the show notes. Now, Rebecca, I have one last question to ask you.
Yes.
What is the most shameless thing you've done to build your business?
Which business? No. The most shameless thing I've done. So this was actually my real estate business. And
you're not going to believe this.
It's not anything shocking, but it's something that I feel like, I mean, I could talk, you want to talk about shocking? Okay. Well, I'll do shameless. So when I, before real estate, I did some modeling and applying or auditioning for a Maxim magazine that's not even around anymore contest. And you had to send in a video. And I knew that the video was going to be 50% because there's all these women, you know, they're going to send in like gorgeous bikini photos. And so I found someone on Craigslist. This is about being resourceful, a professional videographer. And I was like, I didn't have money. So I was like, hey, I want to do a trade, but maybe your video will be on maxim.com. And I came up with this whole concept. And so I was like, I am not going to be like the best looking girl. I won't be the most interesting, but like, how can we make this video so interesting? So one, like I did a lot of one arm pushups because I was always good at that. But I went into a grocery store in SoCal, I think it was in Marina Del Rey, wearing a swimsuit with cowboy boots and chaps on until we got kicked out and he was filming the entire thing. And guess what?
You got picked.
I got picked.
Oh my!
Out of like 100,000 women, I was one of 10 women. So I was in the magazine and the calendar and all kinds of things. I mean, it did nothing like ultimately for my long-term like career. But what it showed me is if you are creative and you are resourceful, like you can make things happen against all odds.
Do you still have that video? I want to make it a part of the little promo.
I wish I did. The funny part is I was on a deadline to go into another job. So I gave this guy total trust. And I was like, it was due. I said, edit it and send it. I've never actually even seen it. But when I went to do my shoot, the editors were talking about how different this video was than like all the other videos. And that's why I got picked.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, well, it has been so much fun having you on the podcast. Is there anything you want to leave for the Mommy Millionaires that we didn't
absolutely talk? Just one, what Kayla tells you to do, because she is a genius and she has such a heart to give. And you know, I love the way that you work and you communicate because you're rapid fire, but that's what people need, and you're so certain. So whether it's, you know, joining the Millionaire Society where there's such amazing like coaching and mentorship, like any way that they can get access to you, they need to get access to you. Aww. So if it's starting out the Millionaire Society, then do that. But you know, if they absolutely getting to Mommy Millionaire Live, and I cannot wait, if you are listening to this and you buy your ticket, I cannot wait to see you there. And also though, the mastermind, I mean, it has been the single greatest investment, and I've invested, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in my business and personal and kind of education development. And that's not counting college. But it's been the single most valuable thing that has moved me forward as a human being and in my business and just in dreaming bigger also. So whatever point you're at that you think that you can afford one, you should jump to the next level. So if you think that you're like, oh, I can do the Millionaire Society, like get your butt to Mommy Millionaire Live. If you think that you can make Mommy Millionaire Live happen, like get in Kayla's mastermind. Because it will grow you to where you deserve to be.
Oh, I love that you say, I didn't pay her to say that, you guys.
I'm paying to say that. And I'm so happy to pay it because it will come back tenfold.
Oh my gosh, it totally will. I love that you say that they deserve to be there. And when I first got on a call with you, you know, just, I guess it seems like just a couple months ago, but it's almost been a year. Like I always just knew that you were already great, but now seeing what you've accomplished in like less than a year, you're just completely amazing and such an inspiration to so many of us moms out there. So keep doing you. You're always so professional, put together, and bringing so much love and light into this world. And so I'm so freaking proud to call you my friend and to just put you out there to the world, like on a whole new level by being on this podcast. So thank you for being on.
Thank you for the privilege. I appreciate you.
Yay. All right, you guys, if you loved this episode, which we talked about everything, you guys are absolutely going to, I already know you guys are loving this. Please take a screenshot of it and share it out there on the socials. Remember that if you share this episode to 10 of your friends via text, you can take a screenshot of that and email us at info@mommymillionaire.co. And we're giving away free Mommy Millionaire Live tickets to one winner every single week that is doing this. Okay. So that is my way of giving back to you, but also knowing that you're giving back to the world at the same time. It makes me feel so good. I appreciate every single one of you guys for taking the time to listen in and share it out there with the world. So you guys go out there and get what you want. Thank you for listening to the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to mommymillionaire.co. Make sure to follow Mommy Millionaire on Spotify and subscribe on iTunes. And it would mean the world to me if you left a 5-star review of the show. And as always, ladies, go out there and get what you want.